representatives of the borough and Representative Mr. Rosiak and some of his professionals met. Like we discussed at the last meeting, we met face-to-face, we discussed proposals, we exchanged plans, two sets of plans. After reviewing the second set of revised plans, we have additional questions, which Mr. Lubner, the engineer, and I are going to speak to Mr. McKenna about tomorrow or Friday at the latest. Mr. McKenna is Mr. Rosiak's attorney. And then we're going to try to move forward. If we can't move forward together, the borough's taking steps to do repairs on its own, and they're going to authorize tonight or propose a motion to authorize the CFO to prepare an ordinance to sell bonds to raise funds to repair the road on our own. Obviously, Mr. Rosiak and the borough have the same goal in mind. It's to get the bulkhead fixed, get the road fixed, and we're trying to find a road that we both can get there on together. But we're also taking steps that if we can't get there on the same road, the borough has to take a different road together.
And our goal is driven by getting the road repaired before the summer season.
Correct.
That's what's driving it.
Safety.
Okay.
Moving on.
Please.
I have one item to add to this. Prior to the meeting, a member of the Bateman's Protective Association, Richie Gardner, has given the council, I'm going to give it to you, a petition. All right, that basically talks about establishing that many of the boats moored in Captain's Cove are clammers boats, and that the signers of the petition ask that the council take into account that we are disrupting their livelihood if we do anything that closes the marina to any significant degree. And we acknowledge receiving the petition. We'll give it to Carolyn. But yes, we're very much aware of that, Richie. All right.
Thank you. I've never been the one to keep news. I don't know. But that's all. All of us just want a place to keep our boat. We don't. That's the first I've heard of what's really going on. I know you've had meetings with Mr. Koziak or whatever. But you've met me at the other.
Yeah, at the claim meeting. Absolutely, right? Sure. Yeah.
That's my first meeting at that type of thing, too.
Okay.
But it also seems like we've got two guillotines hanging overhead now. Because believe it or not, all this.
I'm sorry. I'll let you talk in public portion. This is just the beginning of the conversation. The public portion you can talk to, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right.
See, I don't know.
That's okay. Okay.
Okay, moving on to North Street bulkhead repairs. We received a letter from Mr. Bansky. He's in the process of repairing a portion of the bulkhead that he owns, and I believe he's asking the borough to repair the portion adjacent to it that we own.
Okay. Anybody have any comments?
I think we authorized Ricky to get pumping services involved. Is there a report on that?
Rick? No, I haven't. To find out the capacity of the pump, yes.
Okay.
Take care of that.
So we should have it by the next meeting, Mr.
Two neighbors on either side of North Street have redone their bulkheads.
Right.
Our pumping station was damaged in the hurricane of August, so we have to have some repairs taken care of. So when we do it, we should get it done the right way. We finished.
Okay.
And our goal in that is to make sure the North Station is operational.
Right. Operational, exactly.
In a number of ways.
Right.
Right. Okay.
So Mr. Neal will get us that report for the next meeting?
Yes, I will.
Thank you, sir.
Moving on to review of the best practices survey. Question. Mr. Feber?
Well, basically, we submitted the best practices. We're going to receive full amount of state aid. But one of the requirements of the best practices is that the council be made aware of the survey that went in. And basically, we're fulfilling that requirement right now. The clerk will certify to the state a second certification in addition to the one I certified that the council has been made aware and has basically reviewed the best practices survey.
Okay.
I can do a certification.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Mayor's agreement to the planning board. We had a resignation from Mr. Parla, who was currently a regular member.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if the mayor, are you ready to proceed?
No, we'll talk at the next meeting. Okay.
Okay.
Table, what is it, the 4th?
Table 4th?
Please.
Okay.
I want to thank Mr. Parlow publicly for his service.
There was one other item that we wanted to add on to tonight's agenda. That was a motion to authorize the CFO to prepare a bond ordinance for the repair of Washington Avenue.
Steve, can you speak to that briefly?
Yes. The council is authorizing me, based on estimates that will be provided by T&M, to prepare a bond ordinance for the next meeting.
Which is April 4th.
For improvements to Washington Avenue. I will proceed once I get the information from T&M, and we'll be ready to go on the meeting for introduction.
Mr. Key, do we give you enough time to get an exact estimate together?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And just to be straightforward, what are we talking about repairing? The street.
Portion of Washington.
Thank you.
Okay. Offered by?
I'll offer it.
Offered by Mayor Nolan?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Mr. O'Neill. Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francis?
Absolutely.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. All right, back to ordinances. We have introduction and setting of a public hearing date. We have ordinance 0-12-9, revised, an ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 21 of the Revised General Code of the Borough of Highlands, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, entitled Zoning, to modify the requirements of the MH Mobile Home Residence District and to further allow mid-rise multifamily developments in the MH zone as conditional uses and to establish regulations pertaining thereto. Mayor Nolan, I believe this is the revised ordinance that implements all the planning board recommendations, correct?
Yes, I want to acknowledge that we have this report from our planning board. We made some changes at the planning board. Myself and Councilman Redman sit on the planning board. I know Mr. Mullen's in attendance tonight, and he was the chairman that night. Mr. Mullen, I don't want to put you on the spot, but does this look like what we talked about at the planning board?
I think so, yes.
Okay, and was that a unanimous vote?
I believe it was.
Okay, thank you, sir. Does anybody want to add anything at the table? Comments, questions, concerns? Okay.
Mr. Padula, it is your recommendation that this be sent back to planning board?
Yes, just to get their sign off that it's consistent with
the okay. And that would be the 5th? Oh,
yes.
No. The 5th, no. Or is it the 12th? The 12th, yeah.
So we're looking to introduce this and set a public hearing date for May 2nd. That would give us enough time.
If we go to the planning board 12th and then notice.
And then for me to do
okay.
Notice.
The Marty, did you want to, you're here tonight, did you want to speak briefly on the first one, 12-9? And
if you want me to.
If you don't mind, because I know we made some changes since the last council meeting. You basically, if you want to speak just to the changes, what we, I know there were some things that were vague and we tightened them up, like the height.
Right. And I think one of the, another planning board had several concerns.
Folks, Marty Truscott, he's a planner from T&M.
Yeah, the planning board had several concerns over the, for the mobile home, park ordinance, adding additional uses in terms of townhouses and also single-family uses will also be permitted uses in that zone in addition to the mid-rise, which was under the original ordinance. Nothing changed with the mid-rise that I don't believe.
I think we just had the clear definition of the six-story.
Six-story, the height of it from above, from finished grade. Some other things were added in, and these were things that the planning board passed along from the master plan. Two different things. One is, one was from the planning board report on this matter.
The subcommittee.
The density bonus, mm-hmm. The scenic overlook area. The planning board had thought it was appropriate that if the scenic overlook was added to that area, that there should be some sort of a density bonus to encourage that. So up to 2 units per acre could be added for any kind of multifamily development to add that. So. As encouragement. There's also some provisions now in terms of ridgeline protection so that the placement of the homes in terms of the slope are more compatible with the slope and not just one single terrace and so it's worked into the slope. There's really no plan for the area right now, so it's hard to say exactly what how it should be regulated, but at least there would be provisions that the planning board can use as if any development were to occur. There's nothing proposed at this time. If any were to occur, any development would come forward that the planning board could use in terms of protecting the ridgeline.
And Mr. Truscott, wouldn't this also help to push development away from the slope?
Yes.
By the height? Okay.
And I think that's really about it. Yeah, okay. In terms of that zone, the mobile home, on the other.
Well, let's do this one first.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. So, to be clear, we're sending it to the planning board.
Yes.
And what's the date on that?
So we're looking to set a public hearing date for May 2nd.
May 2nd, but it's going to the planning board on April 9th? I'm sorry, 12th.
12th. 12th.
Okay. The second Thursday in April, I don't know the date.
I think it's the 12th.
It is 12th.
Okay.
Would someone like to offer the introduction?
I'll offer it.
Offered by Mayor Nahum?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Francie. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
No.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mayor Nahum?
Yes.
Motion carries. Offer introduction as amended and setting of a public hearing date for May 2nd is the revised ordinance 0-12-10, an ordinance of the Borough of Highlands, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, amending and supplementing Chapter 21 entitled Zoning and Land Use Regulations to modify uses in the B1, the B2, the WC2, the R-1.03, and the MXD zone districts.
Okay, I want to acknowledge that the council has the planning board recommendations. I know we changed a few things. This one is a little more extensive. This one kept us here until about 11 o'clock, if I recall, at night, going over line by line what we wanted to do as a planning board. Mr. Mullen, I hate to put you on the spot again, but does this look more in line with what we talked about at the planning board?
Yes.
Okay. And I believe that was a unanimous vote also at about a quarter to 11 at night,
yes.
If I'm not mistaken. Okay. Mr. Truscott, you want to speak briefly to any changes that we did at the planning board level?
Changes that the planning board had suggested are, I'd say, fairly minor in terms of in reference relative to the other ordinance. There were changes to what were prohibited uses, just a very minor change in terms of taxi and livery services. There was a provision about allowing some residential uses in very limited circumstances on Bay Avenue, and that was stricken from the ordinance so that there's no conflict with the current provisions that allow residential uses up along Bay Avenue above commercial uses. So there's no conflict there. And that's really about it. There were some other small changes that they played with.
Some existing uses were put back in as part of the recommendations from, I believe, the subcommittee Mr. Mullen sat on with Mr. Stockton, and I don't remember who the other two were, at the planning board. We used most of those recommendations too, I believe, correct?
I can't really recall.
Yeah, but I think there was a good amount incorporated in that. Okay.
The only difference in terms of, it was some change that I did not make, and I just want to make the council aware of this, that in terms of changes to where the MXD zone would be applied to those other zones, the planning board had suggested that those standards may be applied to that. It's my professional opinion that the word shall should be included.
Okay.
But I mean, that's more of a legal determination. But
okay.
But because if you have some standards, if you're going to apply standards, allow certain uses in a new in another area, I'd say that you should have standards that shall apply as opposed to may.
Okay.
And not make it optional.
Does anybody have any comments on the last part of Mr. Truscott's statement? I know that was one of the things we changed on a few of them. Right, Mr. Mullen?
In two locations we did. I don't know whether I...
Yeah, I don't know either. But I know we did talk about it a couple of places. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're looking for a motion to introduce this as amended to set a public hearing date for May 2nd and to also send this to the planning board.
Yes. I'll offer that, please.
Offered by Mayor Nahum.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Francie. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yep.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mayor Nahum?
Yes.
Motion carries. On for introduction and setting of a public hearing date for April 18th is Ordinance 0-12-11 and Ordinance adopting Section 9-8.14 of the Code of the Borough of Highlands establishing a late fee to be charged for overdue sewer bills. This ordinance is not creating something new. This was a request from our auditors.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but it's not something new.
Steve, no situation with this at all? We're all good?
Yep.
Okay. You just need a date? It's the same date then?
Or
next meeting, whatever. Yeah.
The 18th, okay. April 18th.
You have enough time? I'm good.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll offer that.
Offered by Mayor Nahum.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Kane. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mayor Nahum?
Please, yes.
Motion carries.
All three of those ordinance, the 18th?
No, we're going to do one.
The zonings are May 2nd, the 2nd.
Right.
And then this last one is the 18th.
Okay.
No.
Sir, does anybody have any questions for the CFO before he goes to another town to work? Any questions, CFO? Yes, sir.
I'd like to know about this bond authorization for Washington Ave.
Mm-hmm.
Why? There's no amount that's been stated
right.
For this bond. Just educating, you're authorized to pursue this bond, the creation of the actual instrument, the note.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You don't have the information yet.
Right.
And I'm hoping that we will
more information, and it's not ready. T&M is not ready to give it.
Well, let me give you the. Let me tell you about how the process works. What will happen between now and the next council meeting is T&M will prepare a document that will give me the description of the work to be prepared, and their estimated amount and the fees that go along with that. At that point, I'll have the borough's bond council prepare the actual bond ordinance, which will come to council for their review and introduction at the next meeting. After that, there'll be a public hearing set for obviously public comment before the final vote is taken. In a lot of cases, when we do bond ordinances, we base them off of proposals, or I'll call it proposal for lack of a better word, that comes from the engineer. Sometimes we talk about them conceptually until they have time to actually put them together. The council gives them some guidance as to how much we're willing to spend, let's say, on a particular project. So at this point, they've authorized me to prepare the ordinance. Obviously, from that point, it's all council action after that. I just prepare the actual paperwork.
Right.
They actually have to set everything in motion and legally adopt this ordinance before it would take place.
Give you an idea, Brian. We had a repair estimate done for a broader band of everything. Now we're going to sit down and give an exact, close enough, dollar amount of the street on Washington Avenue, correct?
Correct.
That's what we're doing. And we're prepared to speak about that by, what's 2 weeks from today? The 4th. April 4th.
Or the restricted area that is the cave-in.
The cave-in of the Washington.
Right.
Okay?
The two cave-ins. Two cave-ins treated as one thing.
About 500 feet.
No.
So if that road divides further on down the road, we have to take that fork, we'll be ready to go rather than go through this process now.
We're opening up the possibility of having to do that, is what we're doing.
And what was done tonight didn't incur any debt. It just started the process.
Just started the process. That's why we don't have an exact amount.
Yeah. No dollar amount. Yeah.
Correct. We don't have an exact amount yet. Okay. Anyone have any other questions for the CFO? Mr. Moore?
Is this an acknowledgement that there is going to be FEMA money available for this repair?
Well, no. All bond ordinances are prepared with the caveat that any contributions that come in would be applied to reduce the actual debt authorized. That's it. That's a normal caveat in all bond ordinances.
But in the end, we hold the responsibility.
Right.
But we don't know the timing of the FEMA, and yet we have to fix Washington before the summer.
Or if there even is.
I just wondered if you would have gotten some.
No.
No, sir. Somebody else had a question? No? CFO? No? Okay. Steve, thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Tara Ryan, please.
Thank you, Mayor, but I'll go fast.
Okay. Brian?
Couple things.
Name and address, please, Brian. Sorry.
317 C, Short Drive.
Thank you, sir.
The name again?
The soil has been removed from the Verizon pole area. It did not fall.
Okay.
Never said it would.
Yeah.
Just
a little knock. I don't know if Verizon intends to come back and look at this now that the soil has been removed, or are they satisfied or... 100% at this point.
Verizon was working directly with the property owner,
right,
who was doing the work. So,
right. So I don't think anything was other determined by Verizon whether this is permanent or.
We can call Verizon and follow up with that, but
just
that was
follow up.
The communication was between the property owner and Verizon.
Right, right.
So they didn't report back to me, but if they're asking us to, we'll follow up with that. But it looks good. It looks
one
like
of those small thing. Some months back, I called you in reference to the asphalt along Shore Drive where our driveways are. Now, pitted out, and there's potholes along there right at the edges. And you said you were going to take a look at that and have that fixed. And at that time, we still had the water outside, so it was difficult to get to. The water's gone.
We'll follow up with that.
And follow up the filament because I'm still getting some complaints from residents that their cars are bottoming out when they're pulling out of the
going
driveway.
In it, right?
Wanted to get an idea at this point from the council and an attorney in reference to the situation between the upper liners and the town. Has there been any updates? Have we reached any conclusions?
There's nothing to report right now.
I'm curious as to, I understand you can't go into details if there's litigation, whether it's you against them or them against you. But not even to be able to find out the type of litigation and who is filing it, I don't understand.
I can tell you more people were brought into the litigation because they told me they were.
pool brought into it.
There was a tort claim notice filed. And as you may or may not know, if you want to sue a public entity, you have to file what they call a tort claim notice.
Right.
You have to file that within 90 days of the approval of the cause of action.
Yes.
Once you file that, you can't take any action in terms of filing a formal Superior Court complaint for a six-month period.
Right.
So I believe we're still within that period. So so
basically nothing is going to happen until that six-month period has passed.
Generally, that's the rule.
I believe
so there wasn't any actual litigation other than tort letters.
Right. A tort claim notice, which is required under Title 59. Which is not a lawsuit, it's the threat of a lawsuit.
Right, it's the intention that there might be.
Right.
At some point in time. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there wasn't any litigation. We're under the impression there was already ongoing litigation or negotiations between the town and the uphill owners.
There may be negotiations, but there's no
conversation.
Litigation.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no formal litigation.
And I think, Rick, we're about 5 weeks out of that deadline, if I'm correct.
How did your last name?
Wioncek, W-I-O-N-C-E-K. And lastly, Mayor, if you could update us on what happened with the meeting with the board.
I walked them down there. I mean, I think a lot of people saw us.
We were down there. Yeah.
We were down at Shore Drive. We went down by Captain's Cove. I think Mr. Rosiak saw us down there. Didn't get any feedback on it to give you any concrete answer. Well, I'll see him again on Saturday. So, I mean, I've been talking to the regional director more, obviously, than him. The problem that they have, right, again, is everything. We look very good for our public side, meaning the flood mitigation, which has nothing to do with Hurricane Irene or anything like that in reality. The hard part to overcome is that everything that we're talking about now is essentially private property.
Right.
And they generally don't go down that road for you straightforward because there's so many others.
So if he gets behind it and really pushes for the Army Corps of Engineers, if he really gets behind it...
They shut him down on that. I'm going to tell you that flat out. He told me that and his chief of staff told me that. They shut him down and they will not get involved in the engineering pertaining to the hill. Shut him down.
So he did approach them. So we got conflicting stories.
His office said that they were trying to see what other avenues.
Correct. They were trying to navigate something else other than them getting involved in that. Now that may be some other assistance, and you got to remember too, there's different levels of FEMA programs out there. And I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not an expert on them. I don't know what ones do apply and what don't. I would assume his people are a lot better versed than we are sitting here, and I know that they are still in ongoing conversations trying to do something. I can't speak to what they do day to day, obviously, because I'm not sitting in their office, but they took the time out, came down and saw it, and took a bunch of information that we had on your issue about the marina, and Mr. Franti had a presentation for them on our flood mitigation. And they took everything, and I got emails back on it 2 days later about certain things they wanted to know, and I obviously fired back my responses. So, okay. Carol Bucko?
Yes. I want to go talk about Veterans Park a minute. In Veterans Park, the statues were erected and the rocks were erected and the cone lights were erected and it was not supposed to be at any cost to the borough. The first question is, who's paying for the electric?
Is that on our electric?
Yeah, it's our electric bill. If we had the lighting that was in the park prior, we would have been paying it too.
Okay, well also, the flags are supposed to be lit, as well as the flag up by the Doughboy and the flags down in the park. Now I saw when I passed Friday night, you have two recessed lights below the front flagpoles, but they don't reach the flags. So the flags are still in darkness, and there is no light up on the bridge by the Doughboy. And if you're going to keep the flags up all night, they have to be lighted. It's a law, I think. The lawyer can tell me whether that's true.
Even if it's not a law, it's the right thing to do. Exactly. It's a respect. Good.
Those two recessed lightings was the solution to lighting the flag. In retrospect, they haven't achieved that goal.
Correct.
And we have to fix that. We acknowledge that.
We took care of the pole.
The other ones are quite bright. Illuminating those
ugly
spots.
It needs a projected light.
We're going to explore a solar option for near the Doughboy because there is no electricity. But they did, on a positive note, fix the flag.
They did fix the flag. I noticed that they
were. Yeah. DOT did give us, as they agreed, a new flagpole. We paid for it. We got the reimbursement check yesterday. So, DOT.
Well, I don't think people know that they erected the flagpole and it was too short. You can't have a flagpole lower than the statute.
Correct.
So they put in a new flagpole.
So we've got that fixed. Correct.
They just didn't put it up. They were haunted to replace it.
Right. They didn't volunteer, you know, wasn't it? Okay. Miss Buckle, anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Brian Cobb? Right.
Some questions. Brian Cobb, Logan Recreation Place. Some questions regarding where the borough stands with the engineering on Washington and Captain's Cove Marina. Is there any report that can be made?
Bruce, do you want to give an update of what we talked about?
Well, that's basically, we kind of covered everything already, albeit in different parts of the meeting. There was an engineering plan to for the cost to redo the whole road, the whole area. That's what was talked about today.
Correct.
And then the scope was scaled down to just fix the cave-in part. And that's related to the bond ordinance that they were talking about, the final cost for that. There's also engineering issues with the plans that Mr. Rosiak gave us, that we had met with him this week and went back and forth with the plans, and the engineer and I are going to be in communication with his attorney again tomorrow or by Friday morning. So there's two different ways to go about it. There's engineering plans that are being prepared to go our own route and fix what needs to be done, and then to go the route, you know, as a partner with Mr. Rosiak.
We have to fix the road no matter what. So
what I was hoping for is some specifics about what the plan is. Because here's why. Our properties along Rogers and it's the borough property on Washington and parts of Mr. Rosiak's property. And near my property and anyone on Rogers Ave, that area has been staked out with the survey.
Correct.
And I heard last meeting was about a right-of-way access. And what we're concerned about is part of this plan, what is the impact on the surrounding property?
Well, that's what the concern is, because there's legal aspects of that, obviously. So you have Mr. Rosiak's private property and then the public right away. So they're joined at the hip because they have to. So we're trying to ensure that the borough does what it does to maintain the integrity of its property,
the
public right away, and then work with Mr. Rosiak to ensure that the plans he has to fix his property don't undermine the borough's property.
We want to work against each other. We don't.
Okay. That's good to hear. I appreciate the mayor weighing in on that. So we really need, it sounds to me, if I can wrap up a little bit, we don't have a plan that could be talked about now. We don't really know what the repairs will look like.
There's conversation going back and forth that I would say as late as today, correct? Or yesterday?
Yesterday.
There's been a plan put forth to do a repair. We had some questions, I wouldn't even say concerns, questions that we wanted to make sure were ironed out before anybody went forward with anything. We're now going to get them together in writing. They're going to go back and forth between, I believe, our attorney and Mr. Rosiak's attorney, as well as each engineer, I'm sure, will weigh in. And at the same time, we're putting money in place, or potentially in place, to take care of the road that we know is an immediate concern, like tomorrow.
So we don't have specifics. Will we, by report,
I hate to say this, I hope so. We have...
Not about Rogers' side.
No. Plans Mr. Rosiak submitted are only for the fallen part of Washington.
We are only dealing with the cave-in section right now and getting through the summer.
Will the... I understand that's good. But you're not even sure by your report, even though you're going to have both for an authorization. I would hope you have some more information by then. I would think it would have to authorize the bond. You'd have to
Oh, yeah. Number-wise, dollars and cents?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, we will have.
Yeah.
And specifics on the plan.
Yeah.
That goes hand in hand.
All right.
Fred has given us plans. They're getting fed back to him. Okay. There need to be some changes. They should come back to us by that meeting. At this point, yeah, we can move forward then.
Okay.
We'll have a mechanism in place by April 4th to fix the roof.
Okay, good.
The bond ordinance is solely for the repair of the street, though.
Correct.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. So, just so you understand, I'll make it clear to you.
Suzanne Thomas, Ms. Thomas?
Suzanne Thomas, 49 Putty Avenue. I've had concerns since Irene because of the big hole in the basin. Even though I live on Putty Avenue, the tides and the sewer water and everything, well, the backup water is flooding the other areas. I'm glad to hear we're moving forward in some way. But my concern is, why do we never apply for a FEMA grant, or did we ever apply for a FEMA grant to repair these roads and the damage to this bulkhead and I guess that other bulkhead? Because there was FEMA money available, why do we have to have a bond issue when we could have applied for FEMA? Or what was the rationale behind that?
Mr. Hill, you want to speak to what we
have applied to FEMA for road repair. We're not guaranteed that the money's coming forward or when it's coming forward. If we're going to wait for FEMA to give us that money, as Mr. Pfeffer did explain, any of those monies that come in will go towards a bond ordinance if that's the route we take.
Okay, Tim. So what I'm hearing is you did apply for FEMA aid to repair Washington Avenue?
Yes, we did.
The street.
And we also put in a hazard mitigation grant program letter of intent and application for the entire marina and Washington Avenue at one point.
Okay. When did we do that?
October.
No, it was October. Deadline was October.
It was October.
Right.
We still haven't heard yet.
No,
but that's not unusual because we did hear back from our first our first round of spending. What did we get refunded? $100,000?
I can say today we did receive, as of today, $110,000 in reimbursement for expenses that the borough did incur. That's 75% of the funds that we expended. And that's
leading
a normal
up to and
public
included.
Works project for right. preparedness, time spent, debris removal. So those numbers are what we received back to date.
And Washington Avenue repair was part of that application?
Not the 100, no.
No, no. It's a different application, that's what I'm saying.
Different.
See, and it was so widespread an event. Obviously, FEMA's federal, so it was such a widespread event that they're just going through the first round of funding now. And to be honest with you, they got so many applications. If you remember, they kept extending the deadlines
right.
on certain ones.
It was almost in January.
I want to say it was close to, yeah, I think you're right. I think it was might be January 15th was the last
deadline. The general consensus has been, and has been shared and talked about and gossiped about, that no application was made. And you are assuring me at this point that our borough has made an application to FEMA rather than use taxpayer money to prevent for the Washington Avenue repair.
Absolutely.
Yes. For the road only.
Road. Right.
Yes.
Not sorry. Talking about the bulkhead in
no,
any way, shape, or form.
No,
correct.
And it's
correct.
The taxpayer money that would repair that, and the bond issue would be taxpayer money to
correct, and then any dollars we got in would offset the bond.
If the FEMA shows
exactly.
up the money, then we
right.
would take care
which
of
is why I brought Congressman down there with his staff, because I, you know, first off, we want to get everything we can for everything, not just the road. Second off, if we are only going to get what we own, then I want them to see what we're talking about. So we definitely did apply, and we referenced it in our conversation with him.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Mr. Thomas?
Yeah, I just wanted to go over the same thing.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
The marina is a mess, and it's been a mess now for 8 or 9 months. And I really think we've had plenty of time to work out some sort of a plan to fix this thing. You know, I mean, if now we're all getting together to fix it, before it was everybody's pointing fingers at when it's this guy's fault, it's that guy's fault.
I disagree. There was a lot going back and forth. Respectfully, I would disagree.
It's the first time since 92 that the water's gone over top of that wall.
Okay.
You know, and unfortunately, the water was in the town and pushed the bulkhead out. It didn't. You know, whether the drains were adequate, whether the bulkhead was inadequate, who knows? But let's get this fixed so that we don't. We were so lucky that we had a mild winter without any northeasters and stuff, because we've been flooded out every other week. I mean, a lot of people here can tell you how much the tide comes up and how many times a year it happens. You know, we're always over there for some reason where it's 8 or 10 inches down from the top of the bulkhead, but that's as high as it gets. You know? So we got to get this thing fixed and stop pointing fingers at one another and saying, oh, it's his fault, or, you know.
There hasn't been so much a finger-pointing issue as if we take plans to finish this road, to fix it, then it's going to inhibit Mr. Rosiak from doing work on his bulkhead.
How can you think about fixing a road without fixing a bulkhead?
There you go, then.
That's the problem.
There you go,
that's
why it's taking. There you go, then.
I got to fix my road.
We just
the road might collapse on the sanitary sewer. That's what I have to fix.
We just got the final, well, a set of plans from Mr. Rosiak yesterday at 5 o'clock. So what are you going to do, Mr. Thomas?
Okay. As long as we're looking at the plans and everybody's trying to work together.
There should be more dialogue in the next 48 hours, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Miguel Morales?
I'm Miguel Morales, 5 Kings Drive, Leonardo, New Jersey. I, too, am here for Captain's Cove Marina. I am a clammer, and I happen to spend a lot of money in the Highlands. I'm not just at the marina, but in your businesses in general. I am concerned that when I come April 15th or whenever the bill comes due, he's going to ask me for money, and I don't know what's going to happen in a month or two. So I would like the borough and Mr. Bozziak to obviously get together somehow to figure a solution. Approximately 10, 15 clammers in there, and I can tell you there's got to be hundreds of thousands of dollars involved, easily. Mm-hmm. So I'm very concerned about my future with the Highland Borough.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to say something, Mr.
Chip, from your mouth to God's ears, we want the same thing, and you can't imagine how much we want this to get done. So we are very, very cognizant of the situation.
Lori Dibble?
Lori Dibble, 32 Paradise Park. I wanted to point out, I don't know if you guys realize, in the ordinance that the 012-9 revised ordinance that you introduced today, the section 4 with the relocation rights and non-severability that was in the previous ordinance that was introduced March 1st, 2012.
It's in the mobile home.
And so the relocation rights for the residents of the manufactured housing community, should that community close, have been removed from the new ordinance. And I'm not sure if that was intentional or whether that was an oversight.
I believe it's in the mobile home section.
But it's not
Mr.
In
Truscott, am I right?
It's still there. Yeah.
Still there?
No, it's not in the section for Shadow Lawn. It's been removed from the zoning ordinance for Shadow Lawn.
For Shadow Lawn, yeah.
Okay.
Well, why?
But for Paradise Farm.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about the Shadow Lawn ordinance.
Okay, then that was a mistake.
Excuse me?
I think that was a mistake. Then we'll correct that at the next meeting.
There was no intention to remove that.
Okay, so that will be changed.
Yeah, we'll add that on that either at the planning board or at the council meeting.
Okay.
Thank you, though, Mr. Dibble, for pointing it out. Peter Mullen?
You had mentioned in the last meeting that there was going to be a group meeting about Captain's Cove. Is that going to happen?
Well, yes. What we'll do is, I guess in the next 48 hours, we might have a little better idea if we're going to have a go in one direction or the other, if for lack of a better word. Clearly, by April 4th, we're going to have to make some plans to fix the road. So I'm hoping it's concert with fixing the bulkhead also. So I don't want to not commit to you, but if I have more of a...
My question's best. I'm thinking that we were going to have a meeting.
I agree. Like I said, like I think Mr. O'Neill pointed out, we got the last set of plans last night at 5 o'clock. We had a few concerns from the engineer just to try to nail a couple things down. We get that, and we have a unified agreement of what we're going, and I'll have the meeting tomorrow.
That's a good idea, because I think there's a group of people here.
I agree. And, I mean, I've been in contact email with a few people, Brian and a couple others, as we go back and forth, but I have no problem having a meeting. I'm sure anybody else up here would join me.
On another matter, I was hoping maybe that you could recommend that the planner attend the planning board meeting to discuss these new ordinances. Because I think
Moore, you think you could make that? Okay.
I believe I could, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks, Mr. Mullen.
And I also want to caution the council that these two particular ordinances benefit single property owners. And I think you have to be very thoughtful about that as you proceed in these things. And I think you should err on caution and not speed. And I noticed you set up a hearing date where the planning board has another one of these marathon meetings and they have to write a resolution at the same evening. And I really think that if we're going to make these modifications, we have to take them.
Well, I think this was so minor for what we're talking about now, not so much the last one. This is a lot more minor, I think, because all we did was agree on what the plan was.
But I think also in terms of characterization of the ordinances, as Marty said, the two first resolutions of the planning board, the findings were that both of the ordinances were inconsistent with our master plan, and that they did not advance the purposes of zoning. So there are things that we have to get over or get by, I think.
I know you and I are probably on the opposite sides of this. I think the minute a master plan is done, it's obsolete because everything evolves so much. No more so than, what was the old master plan, 7 years old now? The last 5 years have been the worst economy in the history. So many of us probably in this room have been alive. And if you don't think that, I'm not saying this to you personally, if people don't think that that impacts how we got to do business, they're totally wrong. So I think that anything, I look at it like almost like, let's not be dramatic, but the Constitution. It's always an evolving document, in my opinion, as your needs, plans, and things change. So I understand what you're saying.
But look how slowly the Constitution changes.
I mean, that's Washington.
The problem with zoning is it's supposed to be difficult, and it's because you don't want it to be whimsical. As that, it has to be something where you have some plan, some legitimate thought behind it, and you follow that. Otherwise, if it changes all the time, you really can't stop. You can't get anywhere. You can't get to a point.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Pauline Jennings?
Pauline Jennings, 27 Rock Street. My concerns were, my first concern was the same as Ms. Diddle's, that you had omitted the provision for the dwellers of the park and their alternative plans provided for them.
Now keep in mind, all we were doing in that, we were not eliminating anyone's rights, we were mirroring the state obligation. That's all we were doing. We wanted to do it again, that was obviously an error.
Okay.
I just want everyone to be clear. We weren't taking anyone's rights away. They still had it with the state.
All right. I'll accept that.
Well, I mean, that's the law.
There was an omission. The second thing I want to follow up on what Mr. Martin said, I was a little taken aback to hear you talk about the business. Zoning is a business of the town. I thought zoning was...
I said the way the town does business.
The way the town does business.
See, here's how I look at it, and we can disagree till tomorrow. We are in competition, quite frankly, with every town around us, okay? And we need to provide some type of unique and motivation for people to spend their dollars here. Economy 101. If any dollar is spent outside of our town and not here, that's a $3 impact on our dollars and cents.
I absolutely understand.
And these are, now, let's be, no, I'm not trying to slight you. What I'm trying to say is, I agree one way. I think we kind of agree with what I'm saying with unanimous votes.
Right.
So,
may I continue, please?
Please.
My point being, I assumed the borough council was actually answerable to the current borough residents. And the... sorry, Mr. O'Neill, that's funny.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely
but
right.
But you are. Every November we are, ma'am. Somebody is every November.
Correct. And zoning actually is to benefit the current residents.
The entire town.
Exactly.
Not just small pockets of it.
Not just bringing in money into the town.
Well, that's our job up here, to bring in money to the town so we don't have to raise your taxes.
Precisely. So I would caution again that you take your time with this.
I don't disagree.
Remember what happened the last time.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree.
Okay, now that we're on that agreement, the other question I had about the ordinance, will you be notifying the residents, the homeowners, within 200 feet of the property to be rezoned?
That's our legal requirement.
Yes. And you will be doing that?
Yes, ma'am. On the record, we will do that.
All right. And that will be done 10 days before
as
the
required
May?
By law, yes.
Minimum of 10 days.
10 days before
mm-hmm.
the May.
What is it, May 4th?
We have to serve notice at least 10 days prior to the hearing.
Okay. No problem. Mr. Rosiak?
Fred Rosiak, Captain's Cove Marina. A couple of things. First of all, just as the town is preparing. preparing to look into funding for Washington Avenue. As a result of my hearing from Tim that you did not get approval for FEMA for funding the marina, I've looked into finance. It's now at the point where the bank has approved me, save for a copy of my mercantile license, which you chose to withhold. So you realize I can't come up with funding if you guys don't issue the mercantile.
That's part of your conversations with the lawyers the next 48
hours. Secondly, you mentioned to make that you had questions about the plans. I was at the engineer's yesterday where he called, I called you and we called Fred, if there were any questions to call the engineers. Ed McKenna is not an engineer. I pay him a lot of money. My lawyer bills are way in excess of what they should be. All of this is money that should have gone into the marina. If you have engineering questions, shouldn't you call my engineer?
That's fine, we can do that, but because there's attorneys involved, as an attorney, I like to communicate with another attorney. So I have no problem with the engineers speaking to each other.
I mean, it would certainly speed things up. It is an engineer question.
It definitely would, but I feel that both Mr. McKenna and myself need to be involved, whether directly in that conversation or at least aware of what the contents of that conversation are.
Sure, okay. So. Well, again, I hear, you know, you just saw things yesterday, and yet you're going to the lawyer. Last but not least, there's been repeated questions about this FEMA application as it involved the marina and Washington Avenue. At one point, there were quotes in the Asbury Park Press, and everyone left here in January just jubilant that the council was going to apply for joint funds or work together or cooperate and all kinds of stuff. I have specifically made a request for that application that involved the marina, and has been refused on the grounds that it was not specific enough. I made an Oprah request.
Okay.
I hear Tim you saying that yes, you applied for these funds. You told me they were not approved.
I never said we were denied, sir.
I'm reporting what I heard you say. You can deny it or choose to do what you want to. The point is, if you did request that, is there a reason why you wouldn't give me the copy of the request?
And you answer as far as specificity.
I asked for more specific information. You pretty much, in your Oprah request, everything under the sun with regards to the FEMA application. It was too overly. There was too broad.
I requested the FEMA application that regards Washington Avenue and the marina and the damage done by Hurricane
Irene. You asked for every kind of phone
all
message, details, emails, yes. Notes. You asked for everything under the sun.
As it relates to this issue.
It was too broad, so I denied it.
So what would you, you do have a request, you said it was denied. See, we called,
I never stated that it was denied.
May I finish, Tim, and then you can certainly respond. We checked with mitigation, and they said that we should go to Mr. Parker because they have not received a 406 mitigation request from Highlands for the marina and the Washington Avenue project. So somehow your application got lost. Thank you.
Follow
up. Okay. We'll follow up.
Okay, thank you. John Bentham?
John Bentham, 3rd Ed, Washington Avenue. I have like two issues to discuss regarding the whole moving situation. First of all, from what I'm hearing tonight, it sounds like the plans so far are to basically fix two sections of the marina that collapsed. That's the only thing that happens down there, and as far as I'm concerned, that's pretty insufficient considering the fact that basically, let's just basically come out right and say it, the whole marina property is a disaster, and that's the way it is. It's even in the sections where there's collapses, okay, there are sinkholes all around the perimeter of the marina, the vinyl bulkhead is blown out on the bottom, so, you know, even if those two sections are fixed, then in the future we're going to be looking at future damage to the street. I mean, the blowouts are only a symptom of the major problem. I mean, you've got no marina there, Fred. It's all rotted. I mean, there's vinyl in front of rotted wood. That's what's there. And the holes there are the size of Nebraska. So if there's two little sections are repaired, then that's great. But then it's still going to represent danger to the street, especially a danger to the residential properties that are across the street that sit right next to the marina. So it's going to basically be just another patch job. You know, and the next door that comes on, just like Frank said, we got off big time lucky this year that nothing came along or whatever, because I believe that it did. It would have unzipped that whole thing all the way down the street. So once again, it's that whole structure on there. You don't have to be an engineer to see that. I don't know what the remediation to it is, but I think it's got to be more than just the two sections that are clogged. Number two, I think while we're looking at the property, and I'll say it on Mr. Rosiak, sir, is, like I said, the whole thing's a disaster. I mean, from one end to the other, okay? For years, I've been living right across the street from a junkyard. You know, it used to be a vacant lot. People used to park there. Okay, now I have situations where, I can't get out of my driveway because I've got cars parked all around me and behind me because nobody can park in that lot. Not only that, there's equipment in there that are not only inappropriate to a residential zone, but are restricted. There's heavy equipment there, permanent boat storage, industrial fabrication of all kinds. Once again, stuff that is not, not only is it wrong to have a residential zone, our zoning and our code enforcement prohibits it. I mean, I'll put up one example I can think right off the top of my head. In a residential zone, you're allowed to have one boat parked in your property. That's it. That's anybody. We're not a mixed-use zone. We're a residential zone. Okay? So like I said, and that basically what that does, that situation is exists. There's junk in all kinds over there. It's been like that for years. It's an eyesore. It's a negative impact on people's property values. I mean, combine that with the fact that the street's destroyed. Who could sell a house on the street if they wanted to? And you've got people that are putting big money into fixing up some properties. If you go down there, some people that, put big money to reconstruct properties the whole nine yards. The building at the end of the marina, nothing's been operated there for years. It's boarded up. It's falling apart. I mean, like I said, from one end to the other, it's an absolute complete disaster. Other than being an asset, as far as being able to put boats in there, and I understand the clamorous perspective and the people that live around the marina, they like to put the boats in there and everything like that. That's an asset, yes, but it's to the detriment as far as the actual property values of everybody around it. In the summer we've had situations where, the weeds overgrow, they could waist high. So that's just what my issue is. We're going to be looking at the whole, that situation. Let's look at the whole situation. And like I said, I don't know why. Like I said, years have gone by, and I've talked to my other neighbors. A lot of them don't have the balls to come down here and say something about it, so I'm going to be the bad guy. I'm tired of living across the street from a junkyard. There's enough code and zoning violations in there to swing a dead cat at.
Okay. Thank you, John. Richie Gardner.
Pretty much everything's getting answered.
Motion adjourned.
It sounds good.
Offered by Mayor Nolan.
Second, Mr. Chris.
Second.
Second by Mr. Franti. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
You go, Tim.
Meeting adjourned.